From The Athletic, we're very happy to welcome on the program Katie Wu right now. Katie, thanks for taking some time, and I'm sure what's been a very busy day for you. Let's get Katie on real quick. Hold on. Katie, are you there?
Oh, there you are. Right, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I got you. Thanks for coming on to the program. What's been the reaction to this from today?
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think, you know what, if you really break down the Cardinals and where they've been heading over the last, you know, definitely 2 years, but obviously dating much further back, I would hope fans find this as somewhat of a reprieve. Look, it's never easy to accept your organization probably won't be competitive for a few couple of seasons, but I think the Cardinals fan base in general is pretty smart. And I think what they want is a plan, and they want the organization to be transparent about the plan. And I think if you give this passionate fan base that, they'll respond accordingly. So I think it's been revealing to kind of see that kind of response. It's certainly not a direction the organization wanted to do, but it's the direction the organization felt like they had to move in.
You spoke with people anonymously, and they were able to speak very openly with you. There are many quotes in your story that are quite honestly kind of damning about the way things have gone. As you were having those conversations, were you at all surprised with what you were hearing?
A little bit, just because it's always surprising when you're going to see something with that much candor and that much honesty within any kind of organization. What was surprising to me was that it was, you know, it's certainly not solely on player development, but the Cardinals for so long have been, you know, renowned for their homegrown infrastructure and how they like readily produce caliber baseball players from their own system. And that they were having such trouble doing so, I thought it was really alarming because, again, you think about the St. Louis Cardinals and you think about their ability to churn out guys continuously and always having a sound roster of their own growing. I mean, you look at someone like Brendan Donovan, who I think is the example of when the Cardinals get it right. They used to have 5 or 6 Brendan Donovans that's on the roster at any time. So that's what was most surprising to me, was that an organization built and founded over the last 20 years on having solid player development have lost the way and fallen so far behind.
I thought one of the most interesting revelations was the fact that John Mozeliak essentially has one bucket of money to work with, and he kind of determines on it, are you going to spend this money on the major league roster, or are you going to spend this money on creating infrastructure and having technology and staff members and everything that goes along with player development? And he's sort of been forced to spend it on the major league roster, and that in turn has resulted in falling behind on the other side.
Yeah, it's been a difficult decision for John Mozeliak, and I don't think he's immune to all criticism, but it was a tough choice he had to make. Look, we all have bosses, right? And Mo's boss is Cardinals ownership. It's the DeWitts. And if the DeWitts are only giving their baseball operations a set amount of money, well, I don't really know if we can blame Mo for doing everything he could to ensure that the team at the big league level was winning. Now, we can go back and forth on if the free agent signings were smart, if the trades panned out. Sure, that I think makes total sense. But I'm not sure if we can condemn Mo for not spending on player development when it was so clear that he was going to have to make a choice. And he felt like he needed to make the choice that was going to show up and people would respond the most to, which is the success or lack of success for your big league club. So a difficult decision for Mo to make. Ultimately, it came down to having to make some really tough decisions because he was only operating with a set amount of money.
You know this organization very well, and there's going to be different people who fall into different camps. But generally speaking, do you think there's relief in the organization that this information comes out because it helps prepare the fans and helps fans understand these decisions that are going to be announced at some point in the near future? Or do you think the organization maybe doesn't like everything that you wrote today because of maybe some of those quotes that were somewhat damning?
I don't think relief is the word that the organization is using. I think, you know, they are set to announce these changes and talk about it. And I think as an organization, regardless of what you're announcing, you would like the message to come from within. I know the Cardinals are planning an end-of-year press conference where they do discuss more of these changes in full. But, I mean, let's be honest, this isn't something that brewed overnight. This has been a change years in the making. And the difference is when they were winning at the big league level, they could hide it. When you're losing at the big league level, everything comes under scrutiny. And after missing the postseason for the last 2 years, it was so obvious that it was time for a change. Look, we know John Mozeliak is coming back for 2025. He's going to step down after that, is what he said. Now, for Mo, who cares a lot about this organization, I think it's important for him, and he feels it's important as well, to ensure that he's doing everything he can so that when this transition period comes around, it's in a good place. We don't know who's going to take over. We do know that Chaim Bloom is going to have a more expanded role. Would the organization have liked that probably to come from their own messaging? Sure, but at this point, with so much turmoil, things went down the way that they did because most people in the organization felt like they didn't have a choice.
We're talking with Katie Wu from The Athletic. Hopefully you're a subscriber to The Athletic so you could read the piece that got published earlier today. You mentioned Chaim Bloom, and he's coming on full-time, according to your reporting. Do we know really what that's going to look like and how that's going to possibly impact other people in the front office when you think about the Mike Gerschs and the Randy Flores and just the entire brain trust that is the Cardinals organization?
Well, Mike Gersh is under contract through 2025, and I believe assistant general managers Randy Flores and Moises Rodriguez are as well. What bringing in Chaim Bloom was the organization admitting, hey, we need fresh eyes here. Something that I actually think is commendable about the Cardinals is they are so consistent in what they do. But sometimes when you become consistent and aware of the same patterns, you're not aware of the changes that need to be made. So they brought in Chaim Bloom in 2024, the beginning of the season, to just kind of audit or canvas the player development system. Chaim Bloom has had a successful track record, 16 seasons with the Tampa Bays, turning them into a powerhouse for player development. They wanted Chaim, who's regarded as one of the best in the business in this regard, to kind of see what they were missing. So he came back, gave a full report, and now the Cardinals are looking to bring him on full time to maybe see that overhaul of the player development system. So we know he'll be in charge of hiring the team's new farm director. Longtime farm director Gary LaRocque announced his retirement a couple of weeks ago. And I think the main thing Chaim will do is look to upgrade the department, whether that's adding more positions, adding more staffing, adding more technology, or adding all three, remains to be seen. But it was made very clear to me, at least, that Chaim's first big task in this organization is getting this player development model right.
I'm not breaking any news when I say that Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak are not overly popular with a large percentage of the Cardinals fan base. And I'm of the belief that this is not an Oliver Marmol problem at all, but that most people don't agree with me on that. We saw the attendance numbers and things like that. Do you get the sense that the Cardinals are at all concerned about running it back next year with Mo and Marmol and what the reaction is going to be from the fan base to that?
It's a very valid question. Mo and Ollie are the faces, especially when things aren't going well with the organization. But I think that's why how this messaging from Mo himself comes, from the organization, on what the future is so important. Like I said, if you give this Cardinals fan base a transparent plan of what's going forward, I think the majority of them will get behind it. Now, I also understand that, you know, while Ollie Marmol had a really solid season in 2022, won the division, that he's also overseen two of the most disappointing seasons in Cardinals history. And we can argue whether that's his fault or not, but I do want to say one thing. This Cardinals team in 2024 has disappointed. But if you think their performance on the field is disappointing, I challenge you to go look at their expected record this season. They have actually won way more games than they were expected to. And I think the Major League staff deserves some credit there, because when you think about the players that have not played well, you're thinking of Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Contreras has been hurt, their big three. They didn't have a good Nolan Gorman. They didn't have Jordan Walker all year. This Cardinals coaching staff found a way to still win those tight ball games that should count for something. I know it's probably not the message fans want to hear right now, but it's clear that the organization feels like Ollie is capable of handling the next 2 years, which will continue to be challenging if the team is still investing, you know, or prioritizing their investing in player development over the big league club. So while I get it, I do think that, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing that he's still here.
Is there a scenario where if the messaging is that at the big league level they may take a step back or maybe a youth movement over the next couple years, that we see some of these veterans who are under contract make their desire known to maybe play elsewhere?
It's valid, and I can't say for sure because I'm not sure if the organization has even had those conversations yet. But you think about, you know, an impending free agent like Paul Goldschmidt, he's 37. He wants to play to win. You think about guys that were either traded here or signed here, Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras. I mean, Arenado signed an extension to stay here to win. Contreras signed here to win, Sonny to win. So if the organization decides to take a step back and put winning on the back burner, it could very well impact their decisions. We just don't know yet. But that's something I expect to be one of the more pressing questions in the early parts of the offseason and something that I hope we'll have more answers towards soon.
Everybody should be subscribed to The Athletic if they can financially do it, because we get amazing reporting like you had. If people are interested in an Athletic subscription, what's the way to do it?
You can sign up at theathletic.com/Cardinals, and it should prompt you. It's $1 a month for I believe, the first 4 months right now, but we do have sales regardless, basically randomly. So always check back, and you can always send me an email or DM me on Twitter if you'd like to subscribe. But no, thanks so much for having me on and promoting the piece. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Katie. We'll see you back here in St. Louis real soon.
You got it, Polly. Talk to you soon. All right,
very
later.
Good. Yep, Katie Wu joining us here on the program. Appreciate her taking a few moments with us.